हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So chapter 7 continued, Jagat Ananda, the bliss of the worlds. Having reached the end of his narration, Sri Parikit now suggests to his mother that he has told her everything she needs to know to answer the questions with which she had approached him. She should not doubt her ability to think of the correct answers, because she is fully graced with Krishna's mercy. Verse breakdown. Parikit advises his mother about achieving Goloka. He begins reciting statements from scriptures. Janamejaya asks Jaimini for some final nectar. Jaimini speaks nectarian words. Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of the Brajavasis, the splendors of Vrindavan, Krishna's wonderful flute. Parikit advises his mother about achieving Goloka. 74. O mother, you are fixed in the super excellent intelligence, attained only by the mercy of Lord Gopinath. Now, reflecting on all that you have heard, you can answer your own questions. Right? So, in other words, intelligence is coming from Krishna. That's that. It comes by his grace. Right? Means we may have the mechanics of the intelligence, but it's actually the use of the intelligence that actually defines whether we are intelligent. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like that. So, therefore, now, because she's, by the mercy of Krishna, she's gained this intelligence, now she'll be able to answer the questions that she has asked. He's given her all the information. So, in other words, you answer the question, but that it's an ongoing process because you have to apply it. So it's not just you have your question answered, now it's done. No, you have your question answered, and then you have the tools to further answer. That's what you're trying to get. Right? So that's then what he's given. Right? So by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of the devotees, then that is possible. That can work. Commentary. At the beginning of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1.18, Sri Uttara asked Parikit, "My dear son, please extract the essence of what Sukadeva has taught you and quickly reveal it to me, as if churning the nectar of immortality from the ocean of milk." And at the beginning of part 2.2.1.24, Uttara further inquired whether higher than Vaikuntha there is a realm where the Supreme Lord's most intimate devotees can associate with him freely. Quote, "A suitable place must surely exist for them beyond Vaikuntha. Please reveal it to me and rescue me." Because otherwise that formality is there, but there's the sweetness of his pastimes. So that must mean that there's something more, something beyond Vaikuntha. Otherwise, then why would she, you know, why would she see that? Right? So it's that has to be, because that intimacy has to be more, has to be greater. So that's always the point, is that you have the formality, but behind the formality is the intimacy. So then she's perceiving that. Of course, that's by the Lord's grace and by the association of the devotees that she's gaining that. Right. Yes.
We know even in our own, you know, regular life, we don't reveal intimate side of our life.
Right, right.
So why would, you know, Krishna do it, and what is the qualification of those people to whom he reveals himself?
Yes, that's what's special about the Brajvasis. Because technically Dwarka is Vaikuntha, because she's from Dwarka.
Right.
She's connected with the Hastinapur part of the pastimes, but it's still part of the Dwarka scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that. So that's technically all Vaikuntha. up to Mathura, that's all Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
So there, as you see, is that that sweetness is there, which is not down in the other aspects of Vaikuntha,
mm-hmm.
the Vaikuntha planets. But so, but their sweetness is there in Dwarka. So that means, must mean is that there's more. Like, as if you can have just formality, why can't you have just sweetness? So, so that's by Krishna's grace, you're seeing that.
Because it's not your main mood.
No, no. But I see, just like Bhishma Dev can see and appreciate and all that. So these great personalities, you know, basically, we, as we're, it was revealed before, that there's three kind of grades of Vaikuntha Vasas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then she'll be from that third group,
mm-hmm.
where she can appreciate rasa that's beyond how she interacts with Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense? Plus, you also have the aspect that they're expansions of expansions of expansions. So, therefore, then they can go back to that, you know, wherever is their original position. Does that make sense? They can see in that 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 form, that that mood,
mm-hmm.
like that. They'll still be in their position,
mm-hmm.
but still, being in this position, they have that rasa. But in that position, they have another rasa. You know, a more intimate rasa. Is that? Yes.
So Maharaj Parikshit was speaking to his mother at the end after the Bhagavatam.
Yes, after the Bhagavatam has been spoken, but before Takshika has arrived.
Yes, before me, of course.
Yeah, so that's why she says, you know, please reveal it. You know, it says, oh, what's it? Please, my dear son, please extract the essence of what Sukadeva has taught you and quickly reveal it to me, because there's not a whole lot of time left.
So it means that Maharaj Parikshit has imbibed the mood of Goloka Vrindavan, or at least appreciate the mood of Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
And so he can give this mood.
Yes, yes, yes. Because the point is he's from there. Right. This is an expansion in these pastimes here, but he's from there. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like that. He's one of the parents. When you always hear about Shuka and Sari, Shuka and Sari, he's Shuk.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yes. Like that. We haven't met Sari, but like that. Yes. So he knows that. But in his expansions here, there'll be. Not that full manifestation.
Yes.
Like that, how much is required for this pastime.
Yes.
So that's why he's very careful about going into the intimacy of the pastimes.
Yes.
Because otherwise he can get lost. And then the problem is he won't be able to speak to his mother here.
Yes.
Right? Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the point is he's heard from Sukadev, so then Sukadev's giving that, so then Prakrit Maharaj can also then, having heard from him, now can give to his mother. So that's parampara.
Yes.
Right? So it's been heard. It's coming in that line.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah. 75. By your own endeavors, dear mother, please try to reach Sri Goloka, the deep ocean where the flood of all transcendental bliss finds its ultimate limit. Just by going there, you will eternally relish all sorts of most sweet, loving exchanges with that same Supreme Lord. A commentary. Out of love for his mother, Prakrit is eager to help her find the answer to her questions. This he does in four verses, text 75 through 78. By reminding her of the ultimate perfection she can achieve, he advises her to try by all means to achieve Goloka, Krishna's abode. Goloka can be reached only by the special mercy of the Personality of Godhead. Still, devotees are recommended to make their own efforts to achieve that goal with enthusiasm and confidence in their regulative practices, for devotees who become indifferent to everything will fail to attract the Supreme Lord's favor. So it's only by the Lord's mercy that you get there, but that doesn't mean that we don't make the endeavor. Right? So we try to, it means we want to please him, we make that endeavor, we try to achieve his mercy. But it's still, it's his mercy that's going to get us there, but he's only going to give that mercy if we're actually making the attempt.
Yes.
Right? So that makes sense. So therefore someone who's just indifferent, he's just transcendental, and that's all, that won't attract Krishna's attention. Right? Krishna is attracted by someone who wants to know him as a person, wants to interact with him as a person. Those who are just satisfied to be situated on the spiritual platform, you know, free from material entanglement, that doesn't attract him because he's already like that. In his Atmarama feature, he's already doing that. Right? But he's expanded himself, you know, in his pastimes with the devotees to taste that interaction with the devotees. So the Atmarama platform is not a big deal for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, let us say there's a program and everyone there means you're invited to that program because you're a celebrity. Right? So that someone else is a celebrity, does that attract your attention? No. It's them as a person, how they're interacting with you as a person. That makes the relationship. Because everybody there is supposed to be a celebrity. If you're not, it's kind of like, why is this guy here? You know? Does that make sense? So, being on the spiritual platform and different to the material energy and all that, that's the way he is and all his associates are. So, why would that attract him? It's that you're situated on that as a platform, but then there's that dynamic affection. Right? Yes. Because we have to make the distinction between what's a goal and what's the situation. Right? For us, just like we're saying what we were discussing in the morning, our situation is dharma, but our goal is bhakti.
Yes.
Right? So that's why it's sometimes, Varnashram is not a goal. Of course it's not. But it still doesn't mean that's not the situation we work from.
Yes.
Right? Going to the kitchen is the goal to attain the kitchen. The goal is to sit there in the kitchen. No, it's to cook, right? To get something else. But that's the perfect situation to get it from. So, therefore, dharma is the perfect situation in which to interact on a personal level with individuals or groups. Because it accommodates all that. Right? And there's something common, so people can join that group. You can interact with other groups, because there's a common ground. That's the beauty of the Vedic system. Anyone from anywhere, they can function. Does that make sense? It's just like, when you think of India, think of basically one country, no?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But technically, it means if you go back in time, it was 1,000 different monarchies. So by European standards, that would have been 1,000 different countries. So Bengal is a different country than Bihar, is a different country than Orissa, is a different country than Tamil Nadu. The language is different, their food is different, their dress is different. Does that make sense? But they all get along on that cultural point. One goes to the other person's house, the culture that they'll deal, how they'll serve them food, how they interact with them will be the same. How they're sitting and what they're feeding them, that will be different. But the culture is the same. You understand? While they say in Europe, then each one is different. You cross over the border, it's different. And, you know, this country thinks the other country is kind of strange. And vice versa. You know? So like that. So that's because there's not a common underlying culture except for, you know, economics and sense gratification. So there's a thin kind of veil of pranamoy to hold it together. But, you know, sometimes it does a better job and sometimes it doesn't really do very good of a job at all. Right? But in India, it's all considered one thing. So Bharat Varsha before covered the whole world. So there was one culture. Though the customs and everything would be different from place to place. But there was a common culture. So that's the thing. You can have the uniqueness, but still have the ability to interact. Well, in the modern, you either have uniqueness or you have everything the same. You can't have both uniqueness and, what did I say, homogeneity together. Right? It won't work. Like that. But the Vedas, it works perfectly. That's why it's so perfect. Because it's coming from Krishna, it's perfect and complete. It works. So that's why it's recommended. That's the situation one's in. Right? So therefore, is that one's... So just being situated on the transcendental platform, that won't attract Krishna's attention. But from that platform, then endeavoring for bhakti, that will. Because if I have no attachment to the material world, I'm indifferent to the material world, that means if I do something towards Krishna, it will be pure. Right? Well, if I'm not indifferent, then I will tend to do things that I like to do and try to connect them to Krishna. Nice that you're connecting them to Krishna. You know? Just like the child comes up and one of their toys hands it to an adult. You know, so that you can play, you know, like this. You know, is it that you're so happy to get that toy? Oh, I've been looking at that toy for a long time. I really want to. No. It's the interaction with the child. Right? So technically all the toys belong to the parents, but they're the kids' toys. So they interact with them, it still remains their toy. Mm-hmm. In a sense. So that's what's happening. So for Krishna, that indifference to the material world works because he's indifferent. But if that's all you have, it won't attract him. It's from the platform of indifference that then we interact with him. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means we're following the Vedic culture with that indifference for material benefit to please Krishna and bhakti. Right? So it seems that one's functioning from the platform of jnana with the knowledge of platform of karma with the knowledge of jnana, but it's actually the intent is bhakti. So all three are already included. Is that something? Like that? 76. It's not that just anyone at any time can achieve those perfections at once, just by traveling to the district of Mathura on earth. Rather, only a rare person achieves them when he has attained full mercy from the Lord's dear devotees. Right? So, he attained the mercy of Sukadev. Now his mother is attaining that mercy from him. Yeah. Oh mother, please therefore gather dust from the feet of devotees who have exclusive love for the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So, because he's going, she'll continue to cultivate her Krishna consciousness by associating with those who have that kind of affection. Right? So if you want the affection of Goloka, then you have to associate with those who that is what they have or that is their intent. Right? In either way, if someone's fixed in their intent, then that itself is good association. Right? And if they have, even better. Commentary. Mother Uttara might propose that according to what she has heard from Parikit, she could achieve perfection simply by traveling to the nearby Brajabhumi of the Mathura district. Right, because from where they are, it's not far away. Right, because they're on the bank of the they're on the Ganga, right? Yeah, on the Ganga. So that means that's on the northern side, right? Yes. Means there's an island. Means the up. I'm not sure where. There must be like up in like Jammu or Himachal or someplace, where the Ganga and Jamuna split. Either that, or she just doesn't merge, right? Jamuna comes out, and Jamuna never mixes, or she comes out again. And then again she comes out. No, a Prayag they do, but I'm saying when they come out, because the four rivers, Alakananda, Bhagirathi,
Nandakini,
and Jamuna, then they come out at four different places. So she never joins, because the other three merge together.
Okay.
So does that mean that she doesn't?
No, she goes on her own.
She goes on her own until Allahabad. Okay. So that means, but there's an island there, right? Between the Ganga and Jamuna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Geographically, they missed the point where the Fertile Crescent is. They thought it was the Tigris and the Euphrates, but it's actually the Ganga and Jamuna. I guess this is for the Aryans and that's for the Mlechas, right? Yeah, one curves this way, one curves that way. Thank you.
Okay. you're telling the story.
Oh yeah, I was just saying that Braj is not far away. Because from there is Hastinapur, and this down from Hastinapur is Vrindavan. Like that. So it's not far. So his point is, you could just, it's not by just traveling to the nearby Braj that you'll get all perfection. Like that. It's by the association of devotees that are from Braj that you'll get that. So that you'll get that perfection. Okay. Mother Uttara might propose that according to what she has heard from Parikit, she can achieve perfection simply by traveling to the nearby Brajabhumi of Mathura district, which is not different from Goloka in the spiritual sky. But Parikit answers that to realize the boundless variety of loving exchanges with Sri Gokulanath, it is not so easy. Only during the short time of Krishna's avatar, when he makes himself visible on earth, at the end of but one Dwarpara Yuga in each day of Brahma, can anyone who simply visits Braja become perfect. At that time, Krishna descends to earth to show causeless good fortune to all the jivas. At other times, one can achieve the full realization of Krishna consciousness only by receiving a flood of mercy from a dear devotee of Sri Gopinath. This indeed was how the Brahmana Jana Sharma became fortunate by the mercy of Sarup. Right? So that's why then devotees are the most important, because Krishna has come at that time, and that's when it's available that just by coming in contact, then you get the benefit. But the point is then the rest of the time it's he's uppercut. So the place has that spiritual potency, but you're going to get entrance into that place through the devotees. Right? So that's why we see is that the Puranas and that the thing about them that stands out is that they're always dealing with devotees. It's always about conversations between devotees. Like the Bhagavatam is a conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages at Naimisharanya, which is a conversation of Sukadev and Parikit Maharaj. Right? And so now this is then a conversation now of that Parikit Maharaj with his mother Uttara. Right? So by she's associating on that platform, and we're associating on this platform, right? We're on the next rung down, right? And now we're technically hearing it from Sanatana Goswami. Yeah. Right, so like that, it comes down.
Jaimini and Janamejai.
Oh, in
are they telling this story?
Oh, they're telling this story. And who are they telling it to?
Janamejai.
Oh, he's telling it to Jaimini or Jaimini to Janamejai?
Jaimini's telling it to Janamejai.
Jaimini's telling it to Janamejai. Okay. Yeah, because there's so many stories in the stories. So then that means then Jaimini is only performing the duties of establishing Karma Mimamsa.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be established.
Yes, yes.
But otherwise in his own realization. So that's the thing, is that the six schools, all the persons that do that are all actually realized souls, but people will think like this, so to keep them from being distracted and going away from the Veda, they give a philosophy that will accommodate their mentality but keep them within the fold of the Vedas. And then from there, if you're fortunate and you actually want to know, then you can come in contact with the pure devotees and therefore be elevated to actual purpose of the Vedas.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I was just checking. Jaimini is also one of the sages to whom I think it was Vyasadev entrusted one branch of the four Vedas.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, he got the Samaveda, I think. Yeah. 77. That place, Goloka, bestows eternal loving contact with Krishna's beautiful lotus feet, which are thickly smeared with the kumkum from the slopes of the gopis' breasts. Dear Mother, I have thus replied according to the spirit of your affectionate and deeply thoughtful questions, and all your doubts should now have been destroyed. Commentary. Now that Parikit has told his mother what she ought to do, he wants to remind her that Goloka is the final goal and that meditation on Goloka will greatly foster her progress. Uttara's original request was, please deliver me. And in this verse, Parikkhit responds directly, considering Uttara's plea altogether praiseworthy. He has gladly satisfied her. Simply by hearing in detail the glories of Goloka, all doubts are vanquished. Right, so here is that it's affectionate because the relationship, but is deeply thoughtful. So that's the important element, is that in dealing in Krishna consciousness, it's about the thoughtfulness. Because you have to apply it. Right? You know, that was the discussion this morning. So much is of interest. But we want to take that interest a step further, that it becomes thoughtfulness. Mm-hmm. Right? We may be inspired in the beginning by just the that it's unique, but then the point is how we'll use it, what we'll do with it. Right? So that makes the difference between the Vedic scholar and the modern scholars. The modern scholar is only interested in the intrigue of something new, a new angle, a new thought. It's not about what they're going to do with it. So it's not actually, they're not actually deeply thoughtful. You know, they may think about it, but it's only to understand and further the interest's sake.
Theoretical.
Yes, it's theoretical. They're not necessarily going to apply it. Right? That's the difficulty. Yes.
So we see here, Maharaj Parikshit, he practices Shravanam, then Kirtanam by retelling the story.
Yeah.
And then he's contemplating, which is Smaranam.
Right.
But, you know, many times we don't see it happens to us. You know, we hear it comes and then it goes out here, we don't remember nothing, and then we can't really say anything, because as soon as we're out...
No, but then if we keep hearing, eventually it sticks.
Well, he heard it once. I mean,
it sticks better. Yeah, it's just one example was once told by sannyasi that, not sure where he is. So there was this one person, and he was very sick. Anything he ate would immediately just go straight through, you know, or it wouldn't stay. And so the person was getting, you know, skinny like this. Really, it was, you know, very dangerous. So he went to the Ayurvedic doctor, and he had him drink ghee.
Ghee?
Yeah. Everybody's thinking, that's crazy. You know? You know, it was ghee with some medicine and this and that. Kept drinking ghee, but everything keeps going through. But after a while, slowly started getting better. So then someone asked, what is this? We've never heard of this before. You know, first thing is that if you get diarrhea, you stop eating ghee and stuff. But you're just giving the guy ghee to drink, you know, so what's going on here? He says, yes, it'll go through, but a little bit will stick. And so if he just keeps going, then every day a drop sticks. And then slowly gets, so like that. You just keep hearing, and something will stick.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and then it'll start. Yeah. So that's all. It just takes time.
From Maharaj, we can see that in the course after a few years, the thing is sticking.
Yes. Yeah. It starts to stick. Yeah. Yeah. Like now we're discussing, means in the, like in the Bhagavatam, we're discussing Varnashram as Dharma, but from the point where we actually see how the karma, jnana, and bhakti are all together as one thing in bhakti, and how the benefit of the others are there and how it mechanically works. Because otherwise, we know that they're all there. You know, if you do bhakti, you get the benefit of all others. Yes, we've heard, but now we're seeing how it actually works.
Yes.
You know, so it just, you know, it takes a little while.
Why does it take so long? it out conditioning.
Because we're so determined that we're the absolute dictatorial Machiavellian, you know, controller and enjoyer of, you know, the cosmos. You know, we'll settle for the universe, but, you know, but somehow or another, you know, it's obvious we're not, but we're hope against hope. Yeah, just maybe, just, you know. You know, so then all these things, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe, okay. So as we hear, we try, then we get a higher taste, and that's what actually convinces. Is when the higher taste is there. Yes, yeah, that comes in association. So we get that higher taste. We start to give up the lower taste. So it's not that we give it up and become indifferent. We give it up by replacing it with something higher. I mean, sometimes there may be that some temporary element of, aspect of indifference, just as why you see why this should be given up, but you haven't really gotten a taste of the other. But if you continue long enough, then that taste comes, and then it's very natural. So yeah. Okay, 78. That world, Goloka, shining even above Vaikuntha, can be achieved only by firm, boundless love for the blessed feet of the lover of the gopis. In that land, one reaps the most valuable rewards, far beyond one's desires. When one meditates on the residents of that world, they grant the highest fortune of firm standing in prema. Commentary. The only effective sadhana for reaching the highest world, Goloka, is the special kind of love that holds fast to the lotus feet of Sri Gopinath. And since that love reposes in the residence of Goloka, remembering the exalted Vaishnavas of Goloka is the key to all success. So since you're only going to get there by connecting oneself to the lotus feet of the Lord, the only way to connect yourself to the lotus feet of the Lord is to approach those who are situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? So therefore, the worship of the devotees is what will get you to the worship of Krishna. Like that. You know, but it's not that the devotees are given up. It's that you're worshiping the devotees. That's what attracts Krishna. Mm-hmm. Because point is this, Krishna is going to interact with the devotees. You interact with the devotees, then there's something to do. If you only interact with him, how much can you do that? Mm-hmm. Right? So the point is the common point between Krishna and the devotees is the devotees.
Yes.
Right? Krishna's focused on the devotees are focused on the devotees. Yes. Right? But the reciprocation is between the devotees and Krishna. Mm-hmm. Or devotees and devotees based on Krishna.
Yes.
Right? Or Krishna the devotees based on the devotees. So right. So it all works out. Okay. He begins reciting statements from Scripture, 79 to 86. 79. Now please hear some relevant statements of great sages, statements that will fully satisfy your mind. Prickett has answered his mother's inquiries by narrating two histories, one about Narada and the other about Gopakumar. Earlier in the second half of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, 2.133, he told his mother, quote, I could satisfy your request by explaining to you the statements of the Shrutis and Smritis, both in their literal meaning and in their implications. Right? So there's the meaning that what they mean, but there's implications how to apply it. So that's the point, is you have to get both. So there's no interpretation as such. It's a direct meaning. Right? You only use indirect meanings if it's spoken indirectly. Mm-hmm. But if it's spoken directly, which basically all verses are, then you take the direct meaning, but then you have to know how to apply that meaning. Does that make sense?
So the devotee can explain to us how to apply.
Yes. So that's the important part. So that's like he said, you heard, but now you have to apply it.
Yes.
Right? But she has the key to be able to apply it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Sometimes we see, like, say, Rupa Goswami is writing something, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then we see Jiva Goswami gives a commentary. And then we see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives the complete opposite. It's like, you can't see it there. And it's very esoteric meaning, and Rupa Goswami is not saying that, and Jiva Goswami also, it's not about that, but then Vishwanath Chakravarti somehow he does it, and it's all there. So how can we understand?
Well, that's why he's written, so that you know what they're saying. In other words, Rupa Goswami writes, Jiva Goswami will bring out the point. Then Vishwanath will speak on what Jiva Goswami has not spoken on, because he won't repeat it because it's already been said. You don't have to repeat what the acharya has already done as a commentary, because he already did it. So you bring out aspects that weren't brought out or not, may not be clear in his commentary. In other words, Jiva Goswami, Rupa and Jiva were saying that. Just we may not catch it. But Vishwanath does. That's why he wrote the commentary. He sees what they wrote, and he sees what he's writing. Right? So it's not that he's revealing something different or this or that. He's just revealing what they're actually talking about. You know, so there's so many different aspects of what's going on. You know, as we said, there's the situation, there's the endeavor, there's the results. So much of the time we only look at situation. Situation's different, but no, they're the same. They're talking about different aspects of something. Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is that why? Because there's only one explanation and many implications. The literal meaning, single, and then implication.
Yes. That's the point. It has a meaning, and then you can. It applies in so many different ways. So yes, that'll be. He'll be showing other, you know, just furtherances of the implications, and then how that connects back, so we understand. So many times he gives, you know, what would be the definition of the word, or you know, the terminology being used, and that. Then we can see it in its proper light. Just like when we were discussing this morning religion, but we'll generally take that as what is, you know, generally thought of as world religion, but we're meaning no religion, meaning what is the laws of nature that apply to a particular, you know, entity or object. That's what we mean by it. And when you see it from that, then it takes on a whole different flavor. Right? Because we're looking at what's the ritual or what's the external thing. No, it's about what's the nature of something. So you engage something according to its nature. You know, that's what external you'll see. A particular external applies to a particular situation or object because the object itself or the situation have that nature within it. So then that's only the external manifestation of that inherent nature. But because the nature may be very broad, in different situations or with different objects, it may be differently manifest. Mm-hmm. Is that? Yes.
I just wanted to point out that the word implication, Sanatana Goswami in Sanskrit uses tatpadya, which is the same word Prabhupada uses for purport. So essentially this is saying verse and purport.
Okay. Yes. Because the purport is then how to understand it so you can apply it. So that's the whole point, is that Parikshit Maharaj is saying that he's told his mother all the information, right, so that she now will be able to apply it, right? In other words, he's given the information with the purports that she should now with that be able to apply. Not that she thinks, okay, I've heard that, now how do I apply it? No, what he's given already has the
information. There's another distinction. Implied, which means it's coming down the line, not further than coming up.
Okay, yes. Okay, implications implied. Okay, nice.
Because it has to come down.
Has to come down, yeah. Very nice. That's it. What we're talking about.
Okay.
You just catch that one aspect, and then it makes it work. Because when you take the definition like that, it implied means it has to come down. Then you understand that purport means not just what you think about, or you just your own idea, or your own. It has to be illuminating what comes down in the line. So it makes it clear so you can apply it.
Yes.
Is that? These are the moments when language becomes useful. Yeah. It makes it more clear. Right? Okay. To conclude, he will now cite the supporting opinions of reputable authorities about the glories of Goloka. So now he's establishing that where the authority is, where it comes down from. 80. Above heaven is Brahman Loka, which is served by many Brahma Rishis. It is the goal of Lord Shiva and his wife, Uma, and of great luminous souls who are liberated in the Supreme. Text 80 through 85, cited from Sri Harivamsa. 2:19, 29-30, 32-35, are part of the prayers offered to Krishna by Lord Indra after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Here the term svarga is used in the same sense as in the following verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 2:5:42. Others may divide the whole planetary system into three divisions, namely the lower planetary systems on the legs of the Supreme Person, the middle planetary systems on the navel, and the upper planetary systems, svargaloka, from the chest to the head. So then here you can, so from the navel down, that's the legs. In other words, svarga can be taken to mean the five upper planetary systems from Indra's world up to Brahma's. Above those planets is found the end of the material universe, and above that is Brahmaloka, Vaikuntha, the transcendental realm. Because these terms, they can be used on a few different levels, you know. That's the difficulty, is that depending upon who's using them, mm-hmm. what's your goal? So if it's Shiva's goal, is Shiva's goal to attain Brahmaloka means where Brahma is? No. Right, he's already situated in Brahmaloka, which means Brahman, the Jnanis. Is that his goal? Mm-hmm. No. So that means his goal is Vaikuntha, which is Brahmaloka. Right. So in the Upanishad, when it says Te Brahmaloke, Tupara Antikale, so that means that's the end of goals. Mm-hmm. So that can't be Brahmaloka. It can't be Brahman. Yes. Mahakalapura. So it has to mean Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. And that's what's being, that's what the Acharya is bringing out here. Is that? Yeah, because here he's taking Swarga to mean from Indraloka on up, including Brahmaloka and everything. So that means, Satya Maharjana Tapa. Mm-hmm. And Indra's, the 22 heavens and all that can be called Swarga.
Yes.
Like that. If you're getting specific, then there's be Swarga and then there's Satyaloka. If you're saying Swarga and Satyaloka, that means Brahma's planet is separate from Swarga. If you just say a generic Swarga, it includes Brahma's planet. Right? So that means then Brahmaloka has to be beyond that. Right. So, yes.
When we say the middle planetary system, that's Bhu and Bhuva. Like Bhumandala and Bhuvara.
It means Bhur is the middle, Bhuvara is the lower and what's in between, because it means you have the earthly planet, then you have the heavenly planets, mm-hmm. then you have what's in between. Mm-hmm. Right? So what's in between is between Earth and Indra's planet, but it's also what's below Earth all the way down. Mm-hmm. Right. Does that make sense?
Oh, so Bhuvara includes the lower planetary system too?
Yeah. Oh. Bhuvara is just this mandala. Uh-huh. And Bhuvara includes, because I think we're the eighth? Yeah, so all the seven below this is Bhuvara, and any planets between Earth, between the eighth and whatever Indra's is. So Gandharvas, Yakshas, Nagas, because Nagas are below yakshas or, you know, like that. So they move around. So that just means there's the heavenly planets, there's earth, and there's everything in between. So that includes whatever. Because in between just means a mentality. Where you say, it doesn't mean necessarily localized. Because the lower planets, then they'll have more facility than here. You know? And when we get down, it starts to get a little grungy. But, you know, it's like Sutala, that's where Bali Maharaj was. He has as much opulence as Indra, if not more. Right? So, but the point is they're lower because they're not dedicated to the Supreme. Right? So, yeah. So by performing activities here, then you develop the piety. If it's connected with the Lord, you go to the heavenly planets. If it's not connected to the Lord, you go to those lower heavenly planets. Is that good?
So not connected means in terms of the mentality, because most of like the karma kind of sacrifices, they always have some name, like when they recite the mantra.
Yes. But the point is that's not their intent. They're not trying to please Vishnu. So in other words, to go to Swarga, there has to be that element of devotion, even though it's very mild. But there must be that acceptance as the supremacy of the Lord. Otherwise, then one ends up in Bhuva. Vaikuntha is also called Brahmaloka because it is the abode of Brahma, pure spirit, and because it is the world presided over by the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Brahma, Sri Krishna. Of course, beyond the five higher lokas, or worlds, mentioned here are the seven coverings of the universe. Beyond them is the abode of liberation, Muktipada. Then comes Sri Shivaloka, and then the spiritual world. The verse quoted above, however, mentions only Svargaloka and Vaikuntha because the universal coverings are not normally understood to be worlds, and because Svarga is well known as the heavenly destination of pious workers. To give some idea of the greatness of Vaikuntha, therefore, the description that conceives of the spiritual world by simply lying beyond Svarga is sufficient. Because otherwise someone may argue, oh, but there's all these others, but all you're having to do is people are interested in heaven. So here we're talking about the spiritual world is beyond heaven, like that. So how much beyond heaven? That's there. Just like Calcutta is beyond Runagat. You know, we don't have to get into all the little towns in between, right? So we just the point is that it's farther. So. Rather than refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead merely as Brahman, it is more correct to refer to him as Parabrahman, the Supreme Brahman. Krishna is called Parabrahman Narakriti, the Supreme Absolute Truth appearing in human form. Thus, in Bhagavad Gita 10.12, Arjuna says to Krishna, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the Absolute Truth. So, Krishna is the Parabrahman. Brahman comes from him. Right? So since Brahman comes from him, there has to be some aspect of the source. So that means that transcendental aspect, that's coming from Krishna. So that makes him the Supreme Brahman. Right? Because you can see the nature of the cause in the effect. So Brahman is the effect. Right, so that means its nature of transcendence, that has to come from the cause. You can't have transcendental come from something that's not transcendental. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. But you see is that because it's effect, it doesn't have all the attributes of the cause.
Yes.
So therefore, it's impersonal.
Yes.
Well, the Lord is personal. Atma and Brahman, therefore, may also be accepted as secondary names of Krishna because they identify as expansions, namely the Supersoul and the Impersonal Supreme. Therefore, in the later verse of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 10.20, like he can be known as Atma and Brahman because that they are these expansions. But you notice when we generally deal, we'd say Paramatma and Parabrahman.
Yes.
Because then it distinguishes him as the person.
Yes.
But as the expansions, then, you know, so does that make sense?
Yes.
So he is the Atma of the universe. Mahavishnu is the Atma of the Mahatattva. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the Atma of the universe. And Kirudakshaya Vishnu is the Atma of every living entity.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Therefore, in a later verse of the 10th canto of Bhagavad Gita, 10:20, Krishna begins to describe his opulent material expansions, vibhutis, by saying, Aham Atma Bhudakesha Sarva Bhutasya Sarva Bhutasaya Stita. I am the super soul, or Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. The Brihat Sahasra Nama Stotra, when referring to the Supreme Person's vibhutis in the list of secondary names, also calls him Atma. Atva Tattva Dipa. He is the Supreme Soul and the ruler of the elements of creation. The words of saintly Vaishnavas also identify impersonal Brahman as one of the Supreme Lord's vibhutis. Parat Param Brahma Chatet Vibhutaya. These including the Supreme Brahman, which is beyond everything else, are your opulent expansions. Therefore, since the Brihad Sahasranama Stotra includes among its 1,000 names of the personality of Godhead, the names of his vibhutis, these are factually his names, and Sri Krishna can properly be called Brahman. Right? So that's why we don't have a problem talking about Brahman, because it is Krishna, and the Brahman is not different from Krishna. But Krishna is the basis of Brahman, not the other way around. It's just like you have the Paramartika Guru. He had he's bogus, all his disciples are bogus. So one of the contemplations of one of his bogus disciples, he was sent out to get butter. So he went out to get butter. And when he buy butter, they would give it to him in a little leaf cup. Right? In those days, they didn't have plastic, so they had to make do with making leaves into cups and stuff like that. So he's walking along with the butter in the cup. And he's thinking, now, which is the basis, the butter or the cup? Right? Now the cup is holding the butter. So one could say the cup is the basis. But the only reason I have a cup is because I have butter. Right? So he's thinking either way. So he says, okay, I'm seeing here with the cup as the basis and the butter. Now let's test our other theory. So he turns the cup upside down. Of course, the butter falls out and it's wasted. So this is the... Right? Right? So one has to know is that Krishna, these are all Krishna's names, is Brahman, but he's the basis of Brahman as in Brahma Jyoti. He is Brahman, he's the transcendent. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Consequently, Sri Sukadeva has said, Satyaloka, the topmost planetary system, is situated on the head of the universal form. Brahmaloka, however, is eternal. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.39. Right? So Satyaloka is what is up on the top, but that's within the material world. Brahmaloka is beyond. That's eternal. Because Satyaloka means it will be manifest, it will be destroyed. But Brahmaloka is eternal.
In the definition, Brahmaloka does not mean the planet of Brahma.
Not in this connection. That's what's being pointed out. Is that when you're talking about this, you have to know by the context and what's talking about. So when you're talking about Satyaloka and Brahmaloka, then that means Brahmaloka is beyond.
Yes.
If you're talking about Satyaloka and the heavenly planets, then it's beyond. If you're talking about the heavenly planets and Brahmaloka, That means heavenly planets includes, you know, say, Satyaloka. Yes. And then Brahmaloka is beyond that. So it just means the context. So all the, it can be used in these multiplicity of ways. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. Is that since the Lord is everything, that means he's everything. There's the personal aspect, there's the localized aspect, there's the impersonal aspect. And in that way, everything is pervaded. So then ideas, we're taking that everything and seeing in connection with Parabrahman, with the Supreme, as a person. So therefore, Bhagavan. Then everything takes on that transcendental position in which it will take us to his association. Well, if we just think of Brahman as transcendental to the material world, that's all the farther we can get. We'll only get to Mahakalapura. We'll only get to the Brahman existence. We won't get beyond to where the Lord performs his pastimes. Is that okay? So like that, you just see the context. So many of the words are like that, just like we're talking about Goloka and Gokula. Mm-hmm. Right? Because here is Goloka is talking about Goloka meaning the upper form of Vrindavan, and Gokula meaning the local form. But in other places it talks about, if it's talking about within the planet of Goloka, then Gokula means Braja Vrindavan, and Goloka means Mathura and Dwarka and Hastinapur and all Purushottam Kshetra, like that. Mm-hmm. You understand? So you have to see the context. That's why it gets confusing, because the same words will be used in different means, because they all have they're all coming from the same source. That's why they have elements of the source before them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Maharaj here, Maharaj Parikshit is presenting to his mother from Brahman to Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
But he's starting from Brahman.
Means that's where you always start. But you see here, he very quickly moves on to these higher levels. Mm. Right? Because the point is that it doesn't take as much convincing.
Yes.
Like
yes.
that.
Yes.
That. So, you know, like that. So she's a devotee, so then they can just move on from there.
Yes.
A lot of emphasis on how the things mechanically work in the world are only if there's an attachment for it.
Yes.
If there's no attachment, then the basic fundamentals, then they work. Mm-hmm. If there's an attachment, then you have to get in more and more technical. Yes. In other words, the attachment has many aspects, and the subject matter has many aspects. So depending upon which aspect you are attached to, then you have to deal with it on that technical level.
Yes.
Therefore, let's say there's 20 technical points, but all of those are studied because you may be attached to 3, 7, and 19.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you study all, then you can see there. And then that's what's now, but as you go, then you see as those go down, something else comes up. Because that's there from previous lives.
Yes.
You know, you're dealing with what you know now, what you're conscious of. Then with time, unconscious things start coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you're able to deal with whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
So that's what the technical's for. But if one's convinced, one only has to give just the practical. One doesn't have to go beyond.
Yes.
Okay. Srila Sridhar Swami paraphrases this idea in his commentary. The world of Brahman, known as Vaikuntha, is perpetual, eternal. It is not controlled within the material creation. Right? So, therefore, Vaikuntha is actually what you could call Brahman, because it is eternal. It is unchanging. Right? It doesn't deteriorate. It doesn't change into something else like that. You know? So it remains. So it actually, you can say, it is Brahmaloka. Is that what it says? It is Brahman.
Yes.
Yeah. While you could say even the Mahakalapura, you have the aspect that it's there, but the environment around it will be changing and stuff like that. But the principle that they're there and absorbed in the Lord, and that will remain, though all the universes will disappear and everything like that. generally those individuals will remain on that platform. But all the other living entities, they'll just merge back into Mahavishnu, but they'll remain not. But then the point is they will, even though the Brahma Loka there remains, they won't. Mm-hmm. Because they will, you know, from this time come to Mahakalapura, merge in Brahman. Then they'll stay there until basically the next creation. So, and then when the Lord breathes out again or whatever it is, then Lord Shiva arranges that they go back in to the universe. Because they'll have some, you know, whenever they get distracted, then they go back in. So even though Mahakalapura will remain, they don't.
Yes.
You know? But Vaikuntha, you know, in the material world, it doesn't remain, and nobody else does. Right, you know. So yes. Then, therefore, Vaikuntha is the only actual Brahma Loka.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes.
Yeah. The verse from Sri Harivamsa cited here in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Maharaj Prakrit says that the Brahmarshis, either those absorbed in Brahman or great devotees like Narada, dedicated to Parabrahma, Bhagavan, always serve Brahma Loka. That spiritual realm is aspired for by the most exalted persons, including Lord Shiva and his consort, as well as liberated sages who have realized oneness with the self-luminous supreme. In truth, such candidates for entrance into Brahma Loka are not impersonalists, but great devotees of the personality of Godhead's lotus feet, like Sanat Kumara and his brothers, who know from their direct experience the insignificance of impersonal liberation. Narada and other associates of Lord Narayana are also on this level of spiritual competence. But because they are considered eternal residents, not candidates for entrance in Vaikuntha, the second sentence of this verse from Sri Harivamsa does not mention them amongst persons who make Vaikuntha their goal. Because they're already there. So it's not saying that... So those who are already there... then it's not their goal to attain there because they're already there. For them, that's their existence.
Yes.
So he's saying that's why they don't mention Narada at this point, because he's already there. But like Shiva and his wife, they stay in Mahakalapura. That's where they live.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, attaining Vaikuntha is something that they aspire for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Though by their always absorption in the Lord, they're non-different from being there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. 81. Above Brahma Loka is the planet of the cows, which is protected by the Sadhyas. O Krishna, that great planet is indefinitely expansive, pervading the unlimited sky. That planet is above all others, and there you are to be achieved by intense concentration of the heart. None of us can understand that world, though we have inquired about it from our grandfather. Right, so we understand to some degree. So if we don't understand fully, don't worry about it, because, you know, it's being said here that even though we've acquired about it, we still don't understand. You know, so you know, no one should get worried. Right? Commentary: since Vaikuntha is unlimited, nothing can be beyond its ordinary time and space. But nothing can be beyond it in ordinary time and space. Yet there is a transcendental sense in which Goloka, the planet of the clouds, lies above Vaikuntha. Just as Sri Shiva Loka, due to its comparative excellence, is considered above the infinite abode of liberation, and just as Vaikuntha is understood to be above the boundless Shiva Loka, so Sri Goloka is above Vaikuntha. To assert that Goloka lies beyond even Vaikuntha is valid, because only on Goloka do the pastime energies of the personality of Godhead display reality in its most perfect state.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not talking beyond in time and space. We're talking beyond because of the nature of the rasa, how the energies are manifested.
Yeah.
Right? His pastime energies, is that what you think? Yeah, pastime energies, they're manifesting in a very particular way there.
Mm-hmm.
That has much more completeness, the sweetness, the fullness of the interaction and all that. The variety of the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that's all the position that's there. So that's what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Goloka is presided over by the Sadhyas, meaning those who are worshipped by great saints. These Sadhyas are Krishna's dearmost devotees, Sri Nanda and others, whom Brahma, Sanaka, Shiva, and Narada try to emulate by all the means of spiritual discipline at their command. Right, so those are the Sadhyas. Just like here in the material world, the Sadhyas would mean Kubera for the Yakshas, you know, or Brahma, you know, amongst the Brahmanas and the Rishis, or Indra amongst the Devatas. Does that make sense? So they have these groups, you know, like the Gandharvas, they have their king. I'm not sure if it's who's still in charge now, or like that. Yeah, Arjuna's friend. Yeah, so in any case, he's around. But so they have a head. And so all the others, then they respect them. So those are the Sadhyas. So at a yajna, you have the Sadhyas, or those who are respected by others. Great Brahmins, great personalities, Narad Muni comes, Vyasadeva comes, these are the Sadhyas. But here it's saying this is protected by the Sadhyas, which means those eternal associates of the Lord who are the ones respected by all those Sadhyas from here, right? All the great personalities here, who they're respecting there, that's the Sadhyas, right? So Mother Jashoda, Nanda Baba, you know, all the different personalities there, they're the ones that sees that everything's going nicely. Mm-hmm. Right? Because there it's about nicely meaning Krishna's pastime, pleasing Krishna. Is that something? Mm-hmm. Another way to understand the word sadhya, as derived from the verb meaning to accomplish, is that all the cowherd men and women of Goloka manage to bring Krishna under their control by the unique ecstatic sentiments they have for him. Or, right, so they accomplish controlling Krishna by their affection, right? So that's going to be sadhya. Or else these sadhyas are the gopis headed by Sri Radha, Krishna's dearest devotees and therefore the most important residents of Goloka, who perpetually manage to maintain the glories of that abode by their wonderful pastimes with Krishna. Right? So many ways you can interpret this sadhyas. So Goloka is going on because Radharani is performing her pastimes there, and that's pleasing Krishna, and everybody else is assisting that. Mm-hmm. Right? But that won't be seen so much in the pastime, but that's in reality what it is. Or we can say it means just all the residents of Braj because they keep Krishna under the control. They accomplish controlling Krishna. Or it can mean the heads of these different groups. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So in any way you look at it, it works out. It works. The term sadhyas normally refers to a class of ordinary demigods. But the notion that text 20, 81 and 82 refer to these demigods is unreasonable. The ordinary sadhyas, like the celestial bodies of the material world, cannot travel even to Satyaloka, what to speak of Vaikuntha. Certainly, therefore, these sadhyas cannot reach Goloka, and their being its protectors is out of the question. Right? So that's why you have to stick to, you know, what is the meaning that's there, that's the obvious meaning. Right? You can't come up with something, oh, it says sadhyas, so it means these guys. No, but these guys can't even get to higher levels within the material world, how are they going to protect Goloka? So you'd have to use these other meanings.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Which are all proper meanings.
Yes.
So, Goloka pervades the spiritual sky, exceeds all limiting conditions of material existence, and most fully manifests pure eternity, cognizance, and bliss. In contrast to the tiny sky of the material world, the spiritual sky is infinite, right? Because the spiritual world, and you can say the material world itself, as the Mahatattva, is always expanding unlimitedly, eternally. But the particular universe we're in is the same size now, and it will be later. It's not changing, right? So it's not unlimited. It's, you know, 2 billion miles across that we can function in, and it's going to stay that way. It's not going to change. Right? So it's limited. Then it will be destroyed and then manifest again, and again it will be the same size. Right? nice size. Right? You know, how are you supposed to say something else? You know, 193.2793 billion, you know, million miles. You know, it's like, you know, it's, yeah, it's 2 billion miles. Be happy. Right? You know.
Maharaj,
yes.
It means that in the Veda we use mile, not kilometer.
They use miles because it's the closest thing, because the yojana is 8 miles. Like that. Yes. And the mile, you can take it off of the foot. And the foot is 2/3 of a hand. So actually the Vedas work off of hands.
Okay.
So, and generally they go in groups of four. So 4 hands equals 6 feet. So it's like almost like a little less, but almost like two meters. So it just, it works. It matches easier like that. It's still a bit of a thing, but the miles works quite easy. Huh?
Whose hand was that?
Yeah. Well, you have 3 options like that. It means whoever's the performing the sacrifice. The priest or the spiritual master, or if the king is there, because he'd generally be the yajaman, he could use his. Like that. So then, for Krishna, if in him when he's manifest here, then he would be, you know, by this calculation, 5'10" high. So then it would be his hand, you know, unless of course we're using Brahma's hand. So. You know, when Brahma comes down here, then how big his hand is. So the Vastu Shastra gives a size, so it's already, we don't have to, yeah, we don't have to worry about it. Okay. Goloka has its place in that infinite sky. The absolute truth is called Akasha, the sky, because as the sky, or the material ether, pervades the created universe and remains unchanged as long as the universe exists, Brahman is all-pervading and eternal. Right, so that's the sky. The greatest sky, Mahakasha, is Para Brahman, the supreme person, Sri Krishna, with his dense, dark blue effulgence. Vaikuntha, the complete manifestation of Satchitananda, is present within Krishna, and thus an essence non-different from him. And within that spiritual existence, Goloka is the supreme abode. It is above Sri Vaikuntha, which is above all other worlds. As difficult as it is for conditioned souls to comprehend Vaikuntha, Goloka is even more mysterious. Just when you thought, yeah, if you think it, yeah, just as this like that, yeah, but Goloka, no, it's more mysterious. Goloka can be understood only by the tapas of complete concentration of the heart. Mundane reason fails even to begin to approach it, right? That's the problem when sometimes it comes up, is that there'll be questions about just the mundane reasoning on time and space. And you just, they can't approach it, so you can't actually answer the questions. Not that you can't deal with the questions. The point is even if you answered them, they won't understand them. Because that's not the way you'll understand. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's like a, you know, be like, how many lollipops, you know, if we licked them, broke off the stem and stuck them, could we stick on a Ferrari? It's kind of like, you know, and that way we're going to understand how's the specialist of the Ferrari. It's not going to work. You know, what if they're green lollies? Does that change anything? How about the big spiral ones? Right? Those won't stick, right? Yes, I guess.
In that situation, means the question and the answer are in relation with our consciousness.
Yes.
So, with the years, with practicing Krishna consciousness, we are supposed to have more on the devotional side.
Yes, but it's again not by time and space.
Yes.
It's by the tapasya. Right?
Yes.
It mentions here. Yeah. Gloka can be understood only by the tapas of complete concentration of the heart. Right? So the heart means then that devotion.
Yes.
So how the devotion is focused, to that degree it could be understood and appreciated. So someone may put more effort and they may learn quicker. Someone may put less effort, they learn later. So like you see, that's the ideal of a society of devotees. Because different devotees, by their taste, concentrate on different aspects of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And so in that aspect, they understand and develop a lot.
Yes. Yes.
You know, just like, let's say, how many devotees could you ask to put together, you know, something on Harinam Sankirtan, meaning going out with madangas and kartals and singing in the streets, and could make it into actually a full book? Right? But there are devotees who, that's what they do, and so for them, they could talk about it and you could make a book out of it.
Yes.
You know, so does that make sense? So everybody has the area they focused, and so that's the thing, is if you apply there, then you get an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Or you associate with those who have that understanding.
Yes.
Right? So you can appreciate. You may not know what they know, but you can appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So the point, again, it comes down to association. But we have to apply ourselves in that association. Otherwise, then I think Prabhupada also makes the point is, be the fly or the mosquito, it's also associating with the saintly person, but it's not necessarily developing, you know, advanced consciousness. Okay. Mundane reason fails even to begin to approach it, and it remains unknown even to the great sages, who, for information about it, approach the grandfather of the universe, Brahma. Right? So that's what I think. Tapas of complete concentration of the heart means, in other words, the focus of the heart on how to apply something in Krishna's service, how to appreciate it in connection with Him. That's how we'll learn.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this answers the question that has been there, or you know, the point has been noticed, at least for the last few years, that many times the devotees will ask questions, and you ask, why do they want to know? And it's just it would be interesting, right? You know, so that aspect. But this then answers, then, what's the problem? Because you can't fully get the understand it unless it's an application within devotional service. Right? So that's then what Parikshit Maharaj is pointing out, that now Uttara's mother, she's heard all the information and she's heard how to apply it so that she can use it. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
83. Swarga is the goal achieved by such pious practices as control of the mind and senses. And Brahmaloka is the highest destination achieved by those who engage in intense spiritual discipline. Right? So controlling the mind and senses just to follow the rules or to not do things you shouldn't do. Right? Just that much will get you within the universe. But if you apply that same principle on Krishna, to do things he likes, to not do things he doesn't like, that will get you to Brahmaloka. Right? That'll get you to Vaikuntha. So that's the thing, is that it's the same method, it's just where you apply it. Right? If I apply pious activities, you know, just to, following the rules nicely, that'll elevate me within the material world.
Mm-hmm.
I follow it without a desire for elevation in the material world, that will free me from the material world and get me to Vaikuntha. But if I follow it because following it will please Krishna, not following it doesn't please Krishna, that will get me to Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? So that's why we were discussing this morning, it's the pious activities that are recommended in the Vedas and given by the Acharyas. Right? Because so many activities are there. Certain amount are recommended. Then from that, the Acharyas, then they say within this, what is the scope that we should have focused on? Right? So that's then what we use. Now you can use that for karma, jnana, or bhakti. Right. So then using that to please Krishna, that will get you an understanding of the spiritual world, Krishna and all that, because that's where one can function. Mm-hmm. So it's not that one understands it to understand it. One understands it so one can function within it. Right? So it's not about armchair speculation. Right? It's about actually understanding so you can apply it. Mm-hmm. That's then what the process is about. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
So impersonalists won't ever get to Vaikuntha?
No, they can't. They can, from Vaikuntha, go back to the material world, and maybe by being, having come from that platform of, Vasudev Sattva, they're not going to have so much contamination. Though, basically, they've stepped out of the material in the way of just giving up the endeavor for it, stepped out of it, gotten into that, but then when they decide to go back into material, they tend to go back in where they left off. That's the weak point about it. But they'll be in a more purified condition, so they don't have all the sin behind it, but it doesn't mean that the mentality's not there. Does that make sense? So it'd be like being in the same position you were in before, but without all the, you know, background of sin. But it doesn't mean that they won't, you know, make up time quickly. You know, like that. You know. Like that. So they'll catch up.
So they meet the devotees, that's probably quite...
That's the point. Now if they meet the devotees, then very quickly they'll be able to advance because they don't really have any material... Yes. You know, there's something that's there, but it'll be very superficial. Like that. Like that. So, but they'll have to come back here to go. Like that. That's the thing. So you have to go there from here, not from Vermont. Yeah.
One step.
Yes. Because here is actually non-different from there. And Brahman is in between, so... like that. Yes.
When we select, for example, karma, jnana, or bhakti, is it according to our value? According to our...
Yes, our value, and that comes from our association, our endeavors, you know, our previous endeavors, our present. It's all together. That's why there's so much. That's why you have so much to consider, but at the same time, one doesn't really need to consider any of it because one simply, as the soul, can just surrender to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Right. But if there's some considerations, then the Vedic system can deal with that.
Yes.
So if you're just dealing soul to Krishna, then the Bhagavat platform will take care of it.
Yes.
If it's the soul to Krishna, but you know, working within the conditioning, the Pancharatra will take care of it.
Yes.
But if it's the needs of the soul, not necessarily connected to Krishna, but need to be connected to Krishna, that's what the Vedic deals with.
Yes.
Right, so the Vedic's the lowest of them,
yes,
but it's designed to regulate the interest of the living entity to be involved in something other than Krishna.
Yes.
Pancharatra is with Krishna, but according to rules, Bhagavad is spontaneous. So the Veda is the only thing that will deal, and it's progressive, that deals with how to engage, how deals with our material conditioning that's not necessarily directed at Krishna, but shows how it can be.
Yes.
That's the thing, the Vedic system can connect any aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So just like we said, we were just discussing in Puranjana it disappeared. Okay, we'll move on here because otherwise that one, who knows, we'll get back out of that. Okay. Okay, 84, 85. But to rise to Goloka, the planet of the cows, is most difficult. That world was under attack. But you, O Krishna, competent, steadfast, and wise, saved it by putting an end to all outrages against the cows. Here the name Goloka is explained. Goloka is the residence mostly of cows and their herders. Hardly anyone can gain the privilege to go there. Swargaloka and the higher planets of the sages are comparatively easy to enter. being open to pious fruit of workers who can keep their minds and senses under control. Karmis with less self-control can still reach the lower heavenly regions known as Bilaswarg and Bhaumaswarg. It means on the Bhumandala, then the middle island, right, the central island, Jambudvip, and then the portion that we're on of that island. That part, then you know, we're here. So there is the rest of the things, the other nine islands. That's all. That's also a, again, a swarg, right? But it's less. You know, that's the heaven on earth, you know, goodwill to men. Is that one. Then the lower, Bilaswarg, that means it's higher than that. But it's not quite pious enough as like on the what we call standardly the heavenly planets. So there's three aspects. There's Swarga, then there's Bilaswarg, which is below this, and then you have the Bhaumaswarg, which is the other aspects of the Bhumandala other than what we're on. Does that make sense? In other words, it just means there's more powerful, more facility, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then we're the ones that think we're so great. Basically, everybody else in the universe has more. In contrast, the world of the Supreme, Vaikuntha, is attained only by those who perfect the Vaishnava discipline of concentrating the mind on the Personality of Godhead, who always engage in spiritual activity, and who have pure love for God. Yet, compared to either the higher planets of the material world or the spiritual planets of Vaikuntha, Goloka is in all ways superior. It is the supreme destination from which one never returns. So then, even though there's the comparative there, it's still above everything else. It's the highest. Mm-hmm. Like that. And so that's the supreme destination from which one never returns. So Vaikuntha is, you go there, you never return. But that's the supreme destination. You go there, you know, you really never return. Yeah. Is that what I'm saying? So of all the places to go that you never return from, it's the highest. Okay, we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainita Gaura Premanandi.